UK doctors have said increasing numbers of young people with coronavirus are being admitted to hospital, including to intensive care units, begging them not to suffer unnecessarily and to get the vaccine. Recently, after the majority of COVID restrictions were lifted in England, there were pictures of crowded coffee shops and restaurants filled with customers not wearing face masks or social distancing. Medics raised the alarm that unvaccinated young people urgently needed to protect themselves against infection to avoid serious illness. The warning came as scientists gave a cautious welcome to the fifth day in a row of falling COVID case rates, the first time that cases have seen a sustained fall without a national lockdown. However, this figure does not include the impact of 19th of July easing of restrictions. The UK recorded 29,173 new cases on Sunday, 25th of July, down from 48,161 the week before. But NHS England said one-third of 18 to 29-year-olds had still not had at least one dose of the vaccine, a figure that falls to 1 in 10 for the whole adult population. While young people are generally at a much lower risk of dying from COVID, doctors say they are increasingly witnessing them becoming severely unwell. Dr. Samantha Batt-Roden, senior intensive care registrar, said the patients they were seeing were getting younger and younger. Dr. Samantha Batt-Roden said, "The vast majority of those requiring intensive care are unvaccinated. Some of them will die. It is heartbreaking for us, as NHS staff, to watch people suffer unnecessarily, knowing that this almost certainly could have been prevented by the vaccine." She added, "We're seeing patients in their 30s or even in their 20s who are fit and have no other medical problem in intensive care units. As an ICU doctor, I'm begging you to have the vaccine. Please don't let not having the jab become the biggest mistake of your life." Professor Adam Finn, a member of the Joint Committee on Vaccination and Immunisation and a professor at the University of Bristol, said there had been close to 200 admissions with a mean age of 40 in the city during the Delta variant wave. Speaking on LBC on Sunday, 25th of July, Professor Adam Finn said, "We have had people under the age of 30 on our intensive care unit and also requiring high level of oxygen therapy. This is not always trivial in young adults. There are younger people really getting seriously ill at the moment, so that's one good reason to think about having the vaccine." He added, "But the other one is, these vaccines now, it's clear, do reduce the risk of not only getting the infection, but passing it on to other people." The latest data from the UK Office for National Statistics shows that coronavirus in England is now largely an infection among young adults, with cases in the 16 to 24-year-old age range almost six times more common than the 50 to 69-year-old age range. Many experts had urged the government to postpone the easing of restrictions to allow more adults to get both COVID doses. On Friday, 23rd of July, Professor Robert West, a health psychologist at University College London and scientific advisor to the government, accused ministers of allowing infections to rip through the younger population in an effort to bolster levels of immunity before the NHS faces winter pressures. Dr. Adrian Boyle, Vice President of the Royal College of Emergency Medicine, said it was critical young people got vaccinated. Dr. Boyle said that whilst young people getting ill with coronavirus was rare, suddenly there's quite a lot of them just because there's so much COVID around. Saffron Cordery, the Deputy Chief Executive of NHS Providers, which represents hospital trusts, said members were reporting a much higher proportion of younger patients under the age of 40. Cordery also warned of the risk of long COVID. Government data published last month suggested more than 2 million adults in England had experienced coronavirus symptoms lasting more than 12 weeks, although the risk was found to rise with age. She said, "It is important that everyone, whatever their age, understands the risk of remaining unvaccinated." Dr. Kaveri Jalundwala, co-chair of Doctors Association of United Kingdom, a campaigning and lobbying group, also highlighted the risk of long COVID, having experienced the condition herself. She said, "Even if only 5% of people are getting long COVID, that's going to be a huge number of people having a very debilitating condition that might last for a year or even longer." She added, "It's more debilitating than people realize. People can't do their normal jobs anymore. They can't do normal activities. People struggle to walk or do any kind of exercise. We absolutely recommend everybody to get both vaccines as soon as possible, especially with the Delta variant of the virus just everywhere at the moment." The Shadow Health Secretary, Jonathan Ashworth, described levels of infection among young people as alarming. Jonathan Ashworth said, "Ministers must do more to promote vaccination, ensure young people have time off to get jabbed, and open more pop-up vaccination clinics targeting young people. The impact of COVID, and particularly the Delta variant of the virus, on young people is also of increasing concern in other countries. In the Netherlands, for example, curbs on restaurants and coffee shops were reimposed after new cases rose sevenfold. In Australia, the Nobel Prize-winning immunologist, Peter Doherty, said on Sunday, 25th of July, "Young people are at considerable risk and at higher risk than with the earlier variants of COVID. Young people shouldn't think they're at no risk or even minimal risk, because it's going to kill." The government's proposed introduction of vaccine passports has caused significant backlash among Conservative MPs, and it is unclear whether the government will be able to assemble a majority behind it. Ministers are currently considering whether to make vaccine passports mandatory for Premier League football matches and other events with more than 20,000 attendants, having already announced their introduction for coffee shops, entry and other venues where large crowds gather. Professor Finn suggested the move could backfire and a more gentle approach was needed. He said, "If people begin to feel they're being kind of forced against their will to do something, then in a sense that's quite a damaging thing to do, because it gives people the impression that vaccination is something being imposed on them from the outside." The Department of Health and Social Care spokesperson said, "We have one of the highest COVID-19 vaccine uptake rates in the world. The latest Office for National Statistics data shows 90% of adults under the age of 30 have said they would come forward for a vaccine, and 3 in 5 adults aged between 18 and 24 have already received one dose of the vaccine in England." The spokesperson added, "We have worked closely with the NHS to provide information at every opportunity on how to get a vaccine and its benefits, including partnerships with high-profile celebrities, social media platforms, and dating apps to encourage uptake among the younger age groups." The spokesperson added, "We're continuing to do everything we can to boost uptake for younger people and urge all those who have yet to book their appointment to do so as quickly as possible to help protect themselves and their loved ones."
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en. This is A to Z. An introduction to Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, aspects and principles of conduct. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Brothers and sisters, as you know, the roots of conduct has many aspects. Today we are bringing to you four of them. These four aspects primarily comprise the principles and the roots of conduct. Number one, conduct with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for any individual, he or she has a relationship with Allah, the relationship with the Creator. The second one is conduct with the self. So this relationship and conduct with oneself, let it be a elderly person, let it be a youth, let it be a kid, everybody has a conduct and a relationship with themselves. The third one is conduct with the creation. So that is basically the people around that individual. Inevitably, no matter what you do, we are social beings. So we have to have connection with our surroundings. That includes other people. The fourth and the last one which we're going to discuss today is the conduct with the world, the rest of the world. People who may not be directly linked to us, but they exist. The creation around the world that exists, that is maybe not accessible to us right away, we still have a relationship with them. Each one of these aspects is based on seven principles. And when we're discussing the conduct with this world, we are going to discuss some of those principles, which are seven total in number. Number one, being content with what is at hand. See, when you're interacting with the world, when you have a relationship with the world, you need to be satisfied with what you have at hand. This is one. Number two is preferring what is available to what is not. Sometimes we keep chasing, keep running after something that is out of our reach. Islam says no. You look at first and foremost, what is available to you? What has Allah provided you with? The third one is abandoning the quest for the elusive. Again, you know, running after something for the rest of your life, something that is not attainable in some cases, is not a right approach towards life. When you're dealing with this world, some people just, you know, wish to become millionaire, and their lives are spent in this quest for becoming millionaire. This is not how Islam wants to see us lead our life. We'll continue the discussion after this short break. Welcome back to your listeners. Today we are discussing the aspects and principles of conduct, and we said that there are four of them. We're discussing conduct with this world. We went over, out of seven, we went over first three principles before the break. Let's quickly move on to the fourth principle. It is hating overabundance. You know, unfortunately, because we live in a consumeristic societies, we live in a world where everybody is after consuming, owning more, having more wealth. You know, we sometimes become a victim of being a lover of overabundance. Islam preaches that we have to satisfy with what we have and hate overabundance, hate accumulating wealth, hate accumulating power even. You know, unless it's, of course, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you accumulate and use that power. Again, you're not keeping and holding on to whatever resources Allah provides you. So this overabundance is something, generally speaking, not liked in Islam. Then we have choosing abstinence. You know, zuhud. It does not mean that you just give up your world. Abstinence is not that you don't interact with the world. Unfortunately, it's one of those concepts which is misunderstood in different circles throughout the world of Islam and beyond. Abstinence is that you should not be affected if you lose something of this worldly nature or if you gain something of this worldly nature. So for instance, a video game, right? A smartphone, a gadget, a device, you know, something, it should not change your state of heart. And this is what the higher level of abstinence is. Then we quickly move on to the third one, which is knowing the evils of this world and abandoning any desires for it. You know, first you identify evils. Sometimes we look at things in a very surface level methodology. And we say that, you know, we're not going to evaluate the nature of a task or of an existence. And we just want to quickly engage with it. No, you don't engage with anything and everything. You're a Muslim. You don't want to be part of an evil plot, right? So first you have to identify the evil and then abandon the desire for that. Last but not the least is the negating the dominance, right? And again, this is a long topic where, you know, sometimes people have this whole attitude towards this world that I want to dominate this whole world. This is not how Islam looks at our relationship with the rest of the world. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, thank you very much for staying with us till the end of today's episode of A to Z. Don't forget to log on to our website at parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. We leave you all in the care of Allah. Till next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends. Let us listen to another bezel of wisdom from Imam Musa Kazim, peace be upon him, the seventh Imam of the household of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Plants grow in plain, not rocky lands. In the same way, wisdom will grow in the hearts of the modest, not the arrogant, because God has made modesty the instrument of the mind, and made arrogance the instrument of ignorance. Do you not notice that he who raises the head to the ceiling will have his head bruised? Likewise, he who bends down will enjoy the shades and the protection of the ceiling. Similarly, God will disgrace those who do not behave humbly to him, and will exalt those who humble themselves for him.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The light.
Visitors and keepers at a zoo in the Peruvian capital, Lima, are thrilled over the birth of 8 baby penguins from the vulnerable Humboldt species. Zookeepers say the chicks were hatched in July and they're expecting 6 more additions later in October. Currently, the newborns spend their days resting in their nests and being fed by their parents. The Huachipa Zoo currently has 42 Humboldt penguins and is working on recovering the species population.
We have 8 2-month-old chicks and 6 eggs. In 42 days, those eggs will hatch and the chicks will come out. The important thing about Humboldt penguins is that we are recovering their population because they are in a vulnerable state. We are increasing their populations with the breeding we are doing in the zoo.
Researchers say a maximum of less than 10,000 Humboldt penguins are left in the wild, with their population size undergoing extreme fluctuations. The species face emerging threats from agricultural activities to their own vulnerability to predators. The Humboldt penguins are only found along the Pacific coast of Chile and Peru and are enlisted as threatened species by the International Union for Conservation of Nature.
A passionate Indian teacher has turned a road into a classroom and houses walls into blackboards to make up for the prolonged school shutdown caused by COVID-19. Deep Narayan Nayak is working with nearly 60 students in a small tribal village in the eastern state of West Bengal. He started to teach students, most of whom are first-generation learners, last year, when all local schools closed under lockdown restrictions. Nayak says that he was worried about his students' education since many of them did not have access to smartphones or internet connection. But thanks to his initiative, his students can learn everything from popular nursery rhymes to the importance of masks.
We are teaching children everything: how to maintain social distancing, how to wear a mask, what is the importance of masks and hand washing, The children came forward and participated in this initiative, and they are also educating others.
The parents and villagers are grateful to Nayak, saying that they are happy their children are no longer wasting their time loitering around in the village. Nayak is now popularly known as the teacher of the street among the villagers. Water scarcity is a significant and accelerating problem for people worldwide. A UK-based charity, WaterAid, has installed life-size ice sculptures in London to show the fragility of water and the threat posed by climate change.
Climate change is water change, so it means that droughts will get longer, which means that previous reliable sources of water just won't be there. It means that flooding, sometimes in the same country, becomes very severe, polluting water sources and destroying infrastructure. But it also means unpredictability. Water sources that people have relied on for generations, for farming as well as for their health and hygiene, are just no longer there.
Farr, a policy analyst for WaterAid, said people with no access to clean water are bearing the brunt of climate change. The sculptures opposite Tower Bridge are part of the charity's fight, which calls on the British government to increase funding for climate adaptation. The sculptures show how clean water is essential for human survival, with some being depicted carrying buckets and pots in search of water. The environmental group wanted to highlight the threat climate change poses to our planet.
Egyptian archaeologists have completed the renovation of a tomb of an ancient king, providing a rare glimpse into the world's oldest known pyramid. The 4,700-year-old Step Pyramid was built during the reign of King Djoser. The southern tomb is the second for the king, and it is smaller compared to royal tombs. Some researchers suggest it was built for the preservation of Djoser's internal organs, while others say it was built symbolically. It had been undergoing renovation for 15 years before being reopened to the public.
120 tons of blocks were raised by Egyptian hands, astonishingly, and with the determination to achieve one goal. That is the reconstruction of the tomb, just as it was 4,700 years ago.
The complex is historically significant, as it is the earliest known example of the Egyptian custom of pharaohs being buried in pyramid-shaped tombs. According to experts, ancient Egyptians believed that this step design served as a gigantic stairway of the soul of a deceased pharaoh that could ascend to the heavens. Now, we've all grown up playing with a pinball machine at least once in our lifetime. Now, a free runner has designed a giant scaled-up pinball machine, turning it into his personal playground. Latvian free runner Paša Petkuns came up with the idea of playing on real-life pinball machines during a road trip. The set, made in London, is not for the faint-hearted, as it is slanted at a 45-degree angle. Paša thought his breakdancing experience might help, but in the end, he had to invent a whole new style of movement. The producer of the film, showing the performance on the machine, described the set as very scary.
It's 17 meters high, it's 16 meters wide, and 20 meters long. It's an angle of 45 degrees, and I don't know if you understand how much 45 degrees is. It's like, it's a double black diamond slope. It's something you don't go down, you can't, because it's more like falling than anything else.
It does sound scary. Now, the impressive set, designed to look like a retro pinball machine you might find in arcades, took 7 weeks to construct. Global landmarks like the Eiffel Tower and the Statue of Liberty are featured in it. Petkuns works as a Hollywood stunt double. plastic pollution has become one of the most pressing environmental issues, as disposable products overwhelm the world's ability to deal with them. But a young Spanish designer is dedicating his time to the cause of recycling plastic waste. 28-year-old Humberto Les quit his job last year to focus full-time on his environmental efforts. He collects trash from the coast of his home island of Gran Canaria. Humberto usually picks up an average of 5 kilos from the shore at a time. After he is done compiling, he processes the material and turns it into pieces of furniture. Humberto's aim is to make the task of recycling plastic economically justifiable, that is.
I decided to leave my job, stability, to come back here to develop a project to clean the coastline by designing furniture, because I realized that the coast could not be cleaned in an altruistic manner. So I found a way to give economic value to the waste found in the coast.
Humberto is making products ranging from clothes hangers to stools, but he also wants to create larger products with a longer lifespan in the future. According to the UN Environment Programme, only 9% of all plastic waste produced throughout history has ever been reprocessed. Around 80% of it remains accumulated in dumps, landfills, or nature.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A floating concert venue has entertained music lovers in London. Renowned pianist Masayuki Tayama and his partner started the project to play on a canal boat traversing the city's waterways 2 months ago. Since then, they have performed 9 concerts, and their upcoming performances are already sold out in months ahead. The couple came up with the idea after living on a narrow boat with a digital piano.
This is the piano boat, which is the only canal boat of its kind. It was built to our specifications as a floating concert venue. So we have a brand new Steinway grand piano, and here we give musical experiences for people on the canals.
The artists believe the experience is very different from playing in regular concert halls. They say recitals on the boat create a unique interaction with the audience and it feels friendlier. Small fairy pigeon Vader has interrupted a cricket match in Ireland. A playful puppy ran into the field of a semi-final match and caught the ball. The scene caused laughter amongst those present. After a few minutes of chasing the dog, players managed to get the ball back. The funny video has gone viral on the internet.
A caiman and a local tour guide in Bolivia's Amazon region have formed an unlikely friendship with bond going viral on the internet. Although people are warned to stay away from caimans, Alejandro Gil has struck up a friendship with one special reptile named Jesus. Despite the caiman's carnivorous nature, it shakes his tail and allows Gil to pat it on the head after being fed. At 4 meters long, Gil, however, admits that getting close to Jesus does still make him nervous.
My knees shake when I work with Jesus. I'm always scared and very careful, and also respectful to tourists. Guides in the Pampa de Yacuma and across Bolivia consult with tourists before undertaking an activity. If they agree with it, then we do it. If one person is not in agreement with an activity, then we don't do it.
Gil says they are only able to get in touch with a caiman in a dry season when the river is at low water levels. They lose the reptile in January when the river rises. Caimans inhabit Mexico, Central and Northern South America, from marshes and swamps to mangrove rivers and lakes. Their diet consists of a great deal of fish, but caimans also hunt insects, birds, and small mammals and reptiles. A new initiative has been launched to turn the spotlight on the misery of Syrian refugee children. Little Amal, a giant puppet depicting a young Syrian refugee child, has arrived in St. Peter's Square in Vatican City. This 3.5 meter tall puppet has traveled all the way from Syria to Turkey, Greece, and Italy. It will then go to France, Switzerland, Germany, Belgium, and the UK to focus attention on the urgent needs of young refugees. Syrian refugees, especially children, are in a dire situation after being driven from their homes due to the conflict in their country. Archaeologists have discovered the largest ever bronze mask in an archaeological site in China's southwest Sichuan province.
This is a large bronze mask we unearthed from the central park of the number 3 ritual pit. The widest part, from one tip of ear to the other, is 136 centimeters, and the height is around 75 centimeters. It can be regarded as the largest bronze mask unearthed in Sanjingdui, and even the largest in the Shang and the Shu dynasties.
The mask was found together with other cultural objects, such as ivory and bronzeware. These items needed to be removed first before handling the mask, which made the extraction process complicated. Restoration work is underway on the largest bronze mask taken from the site. The relic is believed to be thousands of years old, dating back to the Shu period. The site is an archaeological treasure mine belonging to the Bronze Age of over 4,000 years ago. The area was first discovered in China in the late 1920s. An Australian zoo has welcomed two baby bilbies, an endangered species. Their birth has brought joy and hope to zookeepers and wildlife enthusiasts. The baby bilbies were born in Taronga Zoo in Western Sydney. Zookeepers named the two male joeys Molly and Cliff after a national park that once was home to herds of this animal. The birth of the joeys has raised hope among the zookeepers of reintroducing the species to the wild. Bilbies were once found across 70% of Australia's landmass. They are believed to have inhabited Australia for up to 15 million years.
Chameleons changing color is one of the most fascinating traits amongst living creatures. Now, can't humans make a robot with the same capability? In a science lab in Seoul, a team of engineers have created a robot that mimics the color-changing ability of the famous lizard. The researchers have made the skin with a special ink that changes color based on temperature and is controlled by tiny flexible heaters. The head engineer says creating a wearable device that can actively change color and patterns was the main goal of the study.
The pattern of South Korea's military uniform is made for woodland and certain colors. So if you wear this military uniform and go to the desert, you can be easily exposed. Actively changing colors and patterns to match different surroundings is the key of camouflage technology, and we made this possible.
The total thickness of the flexible, multi-layered artificial skin is thinner than a human hair. The scientists envision that their research can be adapted for military uniforms to help soldiers blend into their surroundings. It can also be used for aesthetic purposes such as fashion, exterior of cars and buildings, as well as future display technology.
today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear friends, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about telling lies.
There's no more hunger, no need for shelter. Isn't there enough to share? Or is it that we just don't care? We're here for a day or two. Let me show my way. Salamu alaykum, salamu alaykum, salamu alaykum.
But first, what date is today? Today, Sunday, is the 12th of Safar, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 28th of Shahrivar, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 19th of September, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran and we'll listen to chapter Baqara, the verse 177.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ليس البر أن تولوا وجوهكم قبل المشرق والمغرب ولكن البر من آمن بالله ولكن البر من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر والملائكة والكتاب والنبيين وآتى المال على حبه ذوي القربى واليتامى والمساكين وابن السبيل والسائلين وفي الرقاب وأقام الصلاة وآتى الزكاة والموفون بعهدهم إذا عاهدوا والصابرين في البأساء والضراء وحين البأس أُولَئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ.
Righteousness is not that you turn your faces toward the east or the west, but true righteousness is in one who believes in Allah, the last day, the angels, the book, and the prophets, and gives wealth, in spite of love for it, to relatives, orphans, the needy, the traveler, those who ask for help and for freeing slaves, and who establishes prayer and gives zakah, those who fulfill their promise when they promise, and those who are patient in poverty and hardship and during battle. Those are the ones who have been true, and it is those who are the righteous.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Instead of defining righteousness, the verse turns to describing the righteous ones. Thus, it introduces the Prophet in the light of their attributes. In this way, it points to the fact that abstract ideals have no value in Islam unless they appear in concrete shape in the character of a man. It is a well-known style of Quran that it explains and defines a condition and a rank by introducing the people having that rank and condition.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, in your hearts. A day you'll always remember every bar.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
We're speaking about telling lies. There are as many advantages for truthfulness as there are disadvantages for lying. Truthfulness is one of the most beautiful traits and lying one of the ugliest. The tongue translates men's internal feelings to the outside. Therefore, if lying stems from envy or enmity, it is one of the dangerous sins of anger. And if it stems from stinginess or habit, it is from the effects of the burning lusts of men. If man's tongue becomes poisoned with lying and its filth appears on him, its effects are like the effects of the autumn wind on the leaves of trees. Lying extinguishes the light of man's existence and lights up the fire of treachery in him. It also has an amazing effect in terminating the ties of unity and harmony between men and spreads hypocrisy. As a matter of fact, a great deal of misguidance springs from false claims and empty words. For men with evil intentions, lying is an open door to help them reach their selfish goals by concealing the facts behind their magical words and capturing innocent people with their poisonous lies. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the abominable consequences of telling lies in Islam. At the same time, we find that this bad habit, this abominable habit of telling lies, makes people to be target of unreliability. And that is, those people who tell lies are seldom regarded as reliable people. And although in some cases telling some lies may bring about some apparently favorable experience, favorable consequences in the short run, however, in the long run, and usually for the life of a person, telling lies certainly damages one's reputation. Now we find that according to experience, both experience and Islamic teachings, we find that telling lies misleads people. According to Imam Ali alayhi salam, those people who have learned, many things, however, the things that they have learned are commingled with truth and lies, they would certainly mislead other people because of the lies commingled with the truths. And whenever truth and lies are commingled, the identification or identification of truth needs much more effort and is sometimes very difficult. It's very difficult for people to be able to appreciate the truth of some statements.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible. All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
As usual, we give you tips to break a lying habit too. Check if your lying feels compulsive. Compulsive or pathological lying refers to a specific type of dishonesty. Some experts believe it differs significantly from other types of lying, though it doesn't have specific diagnoses. You might be dealing with compulsive lying if your lies are impulsive, unplanned, uncontrollable, not serving purpose, frequent, and persistent throughout your life. If you started lying to cope with a difficult childhood, for example, working through what you experienced could help you feel less of a need to lie. Some people who lie compulsively believe their lies, which can make recognizing these lies somewhat difficult. If this applies to you, talking to a close friend or family member can give you some insight into what's happening. In this part, lying, a disease of the heart. Lying and falsehood are widespread problems and are roots of other problems that occur on an individual and public level. Lies are spoken and written in the media and in politics, also in business and in personal dealings by Muslims and non-Muslims alike, although the degree, magnitude and frequency may vary. Lying is against human nature and psychology, and like any other disease, it has its own unique signs and symptoms. The act of lying produces inner conflicts between various control centers of the brain.
Now, what's interesting is that if you haven't done something wrong, if you look at the nature of lying, and if you haven't done something wrong, you don't need to lie. You only need to lie if you've done something wrong. Then you're going to have to come and lie and cover up for it. But if we, and I speak for myself as well, if we walk straight, if we live a normal life, a straight life, there's no need to lie. We only lie when we've done a mistake, and now we want to come and cover for it. There are some people that don't just lie once or twice. Lying becomes a habit. It becomes addictive. It becomes as easy as drinking water. They'll start lying for everything. For example, he's 21 years old. He's asked, how old are you? He'll say, I'm 22. There's no reason for him to lie. And what's the difference between 21 or 22? But because he's so used to lying, because the first time he didn't stop himself, he didn't feel guilty, she didn't feel guilty, they'll lie again and again and again until lying becomes a habit. The hadith says, إِنَّ الْمَرْءَ لَيَكْذِبْ وَيَكْذِبْ وَيَكْذِبْ حَتَّى يُكْتَبْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَذَّابًا. A person will lie and lie and lie until Allah will write him down as a liar. As a liar, it becomes a profession. It becomes a hobby.
I think that's a good topic for discussion, so we continue on the next episode of today's special, inshallah. Till then, fi amanillah.
بسم الله لنا فتح ذكر الله لنا حسن الله.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.